Matthew chapter 26, verse 36. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto thee, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, watch. Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time, praying, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples, said unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. My Jesus, I pray, help us, I pray, to bless your people, strengthen their faith, and God, increase their faith. And I pray, God, you use this message to edify our hearts as well. Thank you, Lord, for the good season of prayer. Thank you, God, for the good Spirit of God we sense again upon your people, upon your church. And I pray you'll continue to bless them. Father, you know this is one of our favorite places to be, and I pray that you'll bless them in return for their kindness to your servant all these years. Bless the man of God, give him the desires of his heart also, I pray. And bless his sweet family, I pray, as well as his people. And we ask these things tonight, and we ask you again to get us ready for the judgment seat. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I'm looking at this tonight with the idea of the subject of prayer. I know that I'm not an authority on prayer, never claimed to be, and don't want to even try to act like I have some deeper knowledge of it. But I do want to share a few things with tonight in a little bit of a different angle that pertains to prayer. In the text here, Jesus is telling specifically Peter, James, and John that they need to pray. But the oddity about the timing of him telling them they need to pray is that the reality is that what they're praying is going to be useless. If there's ever been a time that prayer would seem absolutely useless, it's now. Peter, James, and John, as they've been pulled aside by the Savior, he tells them to pray. But if there's ever been a time that I would have thought that the necessity to fall on my face before God to pray was actually going to be useless and unsuccessful and nothing being changed by it, it'd be right now. The fact of the night that Jesus is being betrayed in the hands of sinners and is telling his disciples that they need to pray. It seemed useless. One reason why it seemed useless is because of their defeat. These men, no doubt, probably at the time he's telling them that they need to pray, there's no doubt in my mind that they feel completely and totally defeated. Because look at verse 31. Then said Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me. Not in a year or two, not next week. It's going to happen tonight. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad, but after I am risen again, I'll go before you into Galilee. Peter answered unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said to him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. So preacher, what's going on here? Jesus said, every one of y'all is going to be offended because of me. And when he said offended, he's not talking about you're going to get your feelings hurt. What he's saying is you're going to be offended to the point you're going to walk away. You're going to be put under so much pressure with what I'm about to go through that you're going to betray me. You're going to walk away from me and walk off the night. In other words, you are going to be defeated. So why pray? If I'm going to be defeated before the night's even over with, and I'm going to fail God, and I'm going to feel like a total failure, Why in the world would I want to pray? What good's it going to do me to pray when you just told me I'm going to be defeated before the night's out? And when one stood up and boldly said, not me, everybody else might, you turned on him and told him, not only will you be defeated, you're going to openly deny me before the rooster gets up in the morning and rings off his third sermon. You are going to deny me. Basically, Lord, you're telling me that everybody here tonight, you're telling me we're all going to be defeated before the sun even comes up. Why pray? Yet after telling them you're going to do this to me and total defeat, oh, by the way, go pray. And your praying is not going to change the fact you're going to be defeated. You're still going to deny me. You're still going to forsake me. You're still going to betray me. But go pray. Why would I pray if I'm going to be defeated anyway? Another reason why they seem like it'd be useless to even pray is because of the division. Right after he's told these fellows that they're going to deny him and betray him and they're going to forsake him, he takes these three men and separates them all from the rest. He separated them from those others. And then he took the three and they got divided up as well. I mean, what you're dealing with all night long is division, division, division. In the middle of all that division, them being broken apart from each other, he said, oh, by the way, pray. I need you to pray. You're going to be defeated, but pray. You're going to be divided, but pray. Another reason why it would seem useless to pray is because of their dullness. The dullness that they're going through. Verse 40, and he cometh unto his disciples and find them asleep and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch me 1 hour? What were they doing? They're sleeping. Now understand something. Before you cast stones on these men and act like they're sorry low down men, you have to understand these are working men. These men knows what it means to put in a long day work. These are not lazy men. They're not been sitting around eating Cheetos and drinking sodas and all that kind of stuff. They're not been laying around all day long playing video games. These men probably have been up at least 24 hours. They may have been up for as long as 36 hours, and they are exhausted. And he rebukes them. He says, wake up. Could you not stay up and pray just one more hour? Why should I pray? You're telling me I'm going to be defeated anyway. You're dividing us up from everybody else. And I am so physically exhausted, I can't even keep my eyes open. And you're telling me to pray. Another reason maybe they seem like it's useless because of their dullness and their division and their defeat. But another reason, number four, and I'll give you my thought, is because of the danger they're in. The fact of the matter is they are starting to come to terms with the fact that there's nothing that they're praying is going to change. They are encountering the absolute perfect storm of their life coming their way. This is the worst scenario they can imagine. God and Satan are on the same direction. God and Satan both are in agreement on the same thing. Christ is going to Calvary. God has ordained it to be so. Satan at that moment of time in the garden that night is fighting Jesus with everything he's got. He does not want Jesus to make it to Calvary. He's trying to kill him before he can even get there. But in the end, this is where all everything's lining up to. All the Word of God is lining up to this moment of time. And their praying is not going to change a single thing. The psalmist said, this is the day which the Lord hath made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. That is a psalmist's prophetic statement about this particular day. God said, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. He's talking about Calvary. Amen. This has all been ordained by God. God has His hand in on it. Jesus was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. There's no way you're going to stop what's about to happen. Satan is doing everything he can that night to kill the Savior, and God's lining it all up for him to go to Calvary and die. So you tell me, what is the praying of these disciples going to do? They're defeated, dull, the danger's there, and they're divided. And what does the Lord say? Pray. Pray. Now, I don't know about you, but it's a little hard to pray when you feel dull. It's hard to get motivated to pray when you're tired and fatigued. It's difficult to pray when you're no longer in unity with somebody else and you've been divided up. It's difficult to pray when you know that as soon as I get done saying the final amen to my prayer, I'm going to walk straight into a pit of defeat and failure and fault. And I'm going to mess up anyway. You're talking about a time when you don't want to pray. It's the time he kept telling them boys three times, pray, 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 boys, pray. Well, why? I'm going to preach on the thought tonight, why should I pray when it doesn't pay? Why should I pray when it doesn't pay? Why would the Savior keep saying to them, pray, fellas, pray. I need you to pray. Lord, it ain't going to change nothing. I can't stop what's about to happen. I'm too tired to give out anyway. Why should I pray if you are lining the Son of God up to go to Calvary and die? Satan's doing everything he can to defeat him and destroy him. He thinks if he does get to Calvary, he does make it that far, he's going to slay him on Calvary anyway. What's my praying going to do? You better believe there's times in your life you get thinking, why should I pray? I can't. What I'm doing is not going to change. Maybe not. Why should I pray? I feel so dull right now, I can't hardly get a prayer through. You ever prayed, and while in the middle of you praying, you're praying for people to get saved, and you name off the preacher? You ever done that? Lord, I pray you save the lost. I got a brother's lost, got a sister lost. Lord, bless Brother Wilkins. And you keep on going. Go, wait a minute, Lord, I didn't mean that. I believe my preacher's saved. You're so tired and you pray that you're ringing off the wrong people with the wrong need. Maybe you don't do that. I just told them myself. I'd pray for God to save some of y'all accidentally. You get tired and wearied and you're facing danger, don't know which way's up, why would He tell them to pray? How many times does praying seem futile for you? How many times have you come to the house of God and thought, I don't know if it's going to be worth it to pray. I pray about something that don't change. I pray about something and nothing positive happens. When we got the phone call about the little Ezra and about his eye and everything, people started praying. And you have to understand something. When you're a parent with a child who has chronic problems and you're the parent of a child with chronic issues, that child begins to get conditioned to go to the doctor all the time. That child, and I don't say they get used to it, and I'm not saying they don't get fearful, but they get conditioned to it, and even the parents get conditioned to it. Not that we don't fear, not that we don't get anxiety, not that we don't get defeated sometimes, but when you're used to it, going to the doctor over and over again, going to the hospital, and you're used to having a child having multiple surgeries, it's a little bit easier to bear it because you've been through it. But this family here, they've never dealt with a single problem with anything. Their kids, and all of a sudden they got a child with a major tumor right above his eye, and now you start seeing all the texts coming out, pray, 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 we don't know what to do, pray. And I'm sitting there thinking, you've never been through this. And they're praying for God to stop him, praying for God to heal him. And the request, pray it don't last long, pray the surgery success, pray the chemo works out. And every time we pray, his condition's not gotten better. Now they're saying they can't cut it out. They can't cut it out of his eye. He's got to get hit with chemo. Then they got to hit him with this and him with that. And then you got some saying, well, that's not necessary. You'll do it this way. And you got everybody barking this way. And you're praying and praying and praying. The situation's getting worse and worse and worse. Sometimes praying don't seem successful. And I know it sounds like you're listening to a preacher tonight trying to tell you it's not worth it. I'm going to show you why it is important to pray. When you feel defeated and dull and there's danger and there's division, why should I pray? The There's three reasons why Jesus told them. Number one, cause of discernment. He tells them, first of all, in verse number 36, in come Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, said to them, disciples, sit you here while I go and pray yonder. He took with him Peter and two sons of Zebedee and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And he said to them, my soul is seeking sorrowful, even unto death, tarry you here, watch with me. Tells them to watch. Tells them to watch. But notice he didn't tell them to pray. He didn't say pray. Verse number 38 said, just watch. Stay here and just watch me. Went a little farther upon his face. He starts talking to God. Verse 40, coming to his disciples, found them asleep, said to Peter, what, could you not watch me 1 hour? Then he says, watch. But you said that in verse 38, watch with me. But in verse number 41, when he says it, he says, watch and pray. That time he said, watch and pray. The other time he said, watch. This time he said, watch and pray. Amen. So why? It seemed like the first time they're to watch and be on guard. The second time he says, all right, now watch and pray. In other words, while you're on guard, start praying. Amen. While you're looking out for the enemy and something coming our way, pray. So here's the thing. We need to have discernment at all times. And even when there's no benefit of prayer, as far as the events are going to unfold anyway, the way they've already been preordained sometimes by God, as it were. And even though praying is not going to remove the dullness and the fatigue, it's only going to make it worse. And even though we've been divided off of the brethren, we're not going to be able to hear them pray, but we've been called on to pray, and things are not looking necessarily that positive, and God's already told me before the sun comes up, you're going to be defeated. But He said, I need you to pray. The reason I need you to pray is because I really need you to watch. And He said, you can't watch if you're not praying. Because the first time He said, watch, He didn't say pray. The second time He went back, He said, watch and pray. Because He realized they're not going to be able to watch if they're not praying. Amen. Can I tell you one reason why we should pray? Even if we're going to be defeated, even if things are not going to turn out the way we want them to pray against, and even though things may not be what we want them to be, God says, I need you to watch and pray. Because there's no way you can watch without praying. Can I tell you something? This is what prayer does for you. It may not change anything about what's around you, but it will give you discernment. It will give you discernment. Praying people are not easily fooled people. Praying people that know how to get with God are people that God will give them insight, and they will see the dangers and the negativity. They will see the things that are coming their way that are not good things. He's saying, watch and pray, because He knows the mob's coming. He knows that Jesus, God, His crowd going to come, and He needs somebody to be watching out so that when they get there, He's prepared for them to be there. So He needs them to watch and pray. I know we're facing danger and we can't stop that, but I should at least have enough sense and discernment to know which way it's coming from so that I can be careful with it. It gives you discernment. Even if your prayer is not going to change your situation, even if that loved one is not going to be healed by your prayer, even if you're going to fail God this week and you're going to trip up, pray anyway, because you need discernment. God don't just give you discernment like that. And discernment is not necessarily a gift. Discernment is something you get because God has made your heart sensitive because you've been praying. Number two, we pray the second reason, in spite of all these things, cause of discernment, but also cause of duty. Duty. So what do you mean duty? Jesus asked them. He said, what? Could you not watch with me? Could you not watch with me? Verse 40. What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? It's not just watch out for the enemy that may come towards you, but I need you to pray so you can watch with me. In other words, you are uniting with me. I'm in prayer. I need you in prayer. And we're both united in prayer together. I need to pray because of nothing else, out of duty. to my Savior who ever liveth to make intercession. While He intercedes for us, every now and again He ought to hear us interceding for others as well. Amen. We're in unison with Him. He's in prayer. We're in prayer. So preach on being defeated anyway. Yeah, but pray, pray, pray anyway, because it's our duty to. It's our duty to. If you allow the circumstances and situations to come your way and rob you of a season or time of prayer, then you're allowing it to rob you of something that Christ is doing Himself at the same time. And you're nodding with Him. You're in unison with Him as He prays. That's why I say, could you not watch with me? Pray with me. You're not here where I'm at, because He walked on a little farther. They weren't close enough to hear Him pray. He went a little farther. He's a little farther from me right now as well. I can't hear Him praying, but I know according to the Word of God He is, and so I need to be praying also. Amen. Out of duty. My grandchildren deserve to have a pawpaw that prays. Amen. My wife deserves to have a husband that's doing his duty and praying. My children deserve to have a daddy that knows what it means to pray. My congregation deserves to have a man of God interceding between them and God pray. Sinners deserve to have that saint pray, because somebody's got to get a hold of God on their behalf. So preacher, what if they never get saved? Well, if they go to hell, they ought to go over your prayer life. They ought to go in spite of it, not because of the lack of it. Number three, and I'm done. The third reason why they need to pray, in spite of everything that's negative, because of discernment duty. Number three, because of defense. Jesus warns them and says, you need to watch and pray. You need to be careful about this. In verse 41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. See, prayer has something, it has an effect on you. Prayer will help you withstand temptation. Now, it's not going to stop them from being defeated. They're going to be defeated before the next morning is over with, because they're all going to forsake it. It's not going to stop the fact He's going to Calvary, because that was in the mind of God. It's not going to stop the division, because Christ even ordained that. It's not going to stop the fact that they're tired. But what it will do, it will strengthen them to overcome temptation that is going to come their way. Your flesh is weak. Your flesh will fall. But you show me somebody who is accustomed to praying and prays often and prays consistently, I'm going to show you somebody that don't fall into sin as much as somebody who don't pray. My flesh needs me to pray, because my flesh is wicked to the core. And my flesh will gravitate towards that is wrong and displeasing to God. But if I'm on my face before God in prayer, I'm not talking like, listen, I don't see the boogeyman behind every bush. I don't believe that. I don't believe you can go overboard with this and go too far with this kind of mindset. But listen to me carefully. Your flesh is at enmity against God. Everything God's for, it's against. That's right. Everything your flesh is for, God's against. Yeah. And they're in opposition to each other continually. What? Shall you not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you walk in the Spirit, you pray, you walk in the Spirit of God, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. If you don't, you will. The reason why people fall is because they don't pray. You watch most of the people that you see fall to the wayside and quit on God. Most of them, one of the things that they'll lose is their prayer life. You mark her down. You will not see a preacher fall who is a praying preacher. They may have been a praying preacher in years gone by, but before the fall, they quit praying like they should. And they got arrogant and they got cocky against their own flesh, and they didn't realize it could take them down just as well. Many times we fall in temptation because we neglect the very thing that's most important, and that's prayer. So, preach, I'm going to be defeated anyway. Pray. Amen. Preach, I'm tired. I feel dullness in my life. Pray anyway. It's not about the mood. Listen, there's times, preacher, you know this as well as I do. There's times I go in my prayer room to pray, And it's labor. There's times I don't hear the prayer bells ringing. I'm not hearing the angel wings rustling around in the prayer room with me. There's times I'm praying, I don't even feel the presence of God. There's times I'm praying, it's a struggle. Sometimes my mind, I have to collect my mind back. Hey, come back here, dummy. You're all over y'all thinking about something else you're going to do today. Come back and pray again. And we all do it from time to time. But listen to me carefully. Still important to pray. But every now and again, that spirit of prayer will get on you. And when that happens, you don't want to stop. Time will fly by. Now, when it's not on you, you pray, feel like you've been praying for 2 hours, look at the clock, and about a minute and a half went by. And you done prayed for everything. So, Lord, well, I really failed today. Maybe not so much. But then there's times you'll pray, and that Spirit of God will come on you. What I call the spirit of prayer will come on you. Many times I pray, Lord, give me a spirit of curiosity. Not a curious spirit, that's wicked, but give me a spirit of curiosity. Make me inquisitive. Help me to be inquisitive of the things of God. Lord, while I pray, help me to see what I wouldn't see normally. God, show me what you need me to see. And when I pray, help me to pray the same way Jesus would pray right now for this need. And Lord, I'm going to get, when I get done praying, by the help and grace of God, I have prayed what you would have asked the Father for yourself. And pray boldly. Amen. Pray boldly. Pray as big as God.
Amen.
So, preacher, I tell you, I got some people I don't like. Pray ugly on them. God may not answer the prayer, and you ain't got to apologize. You talk bad about them to other people, you got to apologize. Talk bad about them to God, you don't have to. Amen. I probably shouldn't have said that. Preacher, come on. Why should I pray when it doesn't pay? It does pay. It always does.